All right. Good evening. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad my sins are pardoned. Amen. What a great song. Sure have enjoyed being here today with y'all. I enjoyed just the time in Sunday school. I enjoyed this morning in the choir and enjoyed lunch with your pastor and his wife. And I've enjoyed the service thus far. Enjoyed the special by the teenagers, by the choir. Enjoyed speaking to some of you out in the foyer. Thank you for making this day good for us, allowing us to enjoy this day with y'all. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to preach today. Sure is a blessing to be with y'all. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. And we're going to begin our reading in verse 25, and we'll read down to verse 37. Luke 10, 25 through 37. So I'm going to say something else that happened to the new missionary working with us. So when he first got there, we would always try to be with him whenever we would go places, help him with the Spanish. And there were times I would let him go solo. So I would let him try to do it in Spanish. And if he needed me, I would be behind him. So we went to McDonald's. Every missionary goes to McDonald's, right? So we went to McDonald's, and he tries to order chicken nuggets on his own. Not for him, for his kids. And he tries to get 1 6-count of chicken nuggets. Well, he thought the chicken nuggets were kind of expensive. And when they brought his order out, he ordered 6 counts of 6. So he ended up with 36 chicken nuggets for his kids. So those are just things that happen on the mission field. Even though he ordered 36, there was none left. So, right? All right, well, let's go to Luke and chapter number 10 and verse 25. So this is going to be a familiar story to most of you. Verse 25 says, "And behold, certain lawyers stood up and tempted him, saying," so he's talking to Jesus, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Very good question. He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "Certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, the lawyer is replying here, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So we're going to be reminded tonight of just who our neighbor is. Who is your neighbor? Who's my neighbor? That's what we're going to see tonight in this passage. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful once again for this privilege to be in your house. And Lord, how encouraging it's already been and uplifting. And Lord, we do pray now that you would be with the preaching of your word. Would you give me clarity, Lord? Would you help my thoughts to be your thoughts and help me to deliver the message that way you would have me to deliver it. And Lord, would you speak to our hearts? And we give you the praise and glory for everything that you'll do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. So Jesus is approached here in this passage by a lawyer. This lawyer had a very important question, a question that many people have today. And that question is, how can we have eternal life? That question seems to be very complicated for most people. Most people will tell you that it's by works. Most people will tell you that it's by being a good person. Most people will say it's by helping out those in need. Some people will say it's by baptism. Some people will say it's by attending church. Some people will say, well, you just can't really know for sure. I guess it's just up to God. And when I die, see what he says. And so this lawyer is interested about knowing how he can go to heaven. That's a very good question, but he had bad intentions. The intentions of this question was to try to corner Jesus, if we could say. And Jesus knew the intentions of his question, so he comes back with another question. What question does Jesus ask him? Let's look in verse 36. He said unto him, or 26, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So this was a man that understood the law. He understood what the law of God was, and he answers very well. In verse 27, he tells him, well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And now Jesus, after the lawyer responds, and I'm sure he's kind of like puffing out his chest because he knew the answer was right, and kind of, thank you, Jesus. He's probably smiling on his face, so what are you going to say now? And Jesus knew his heart, and so now Jesus even says in verse 28, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. So now he's putting him on the spot, and he's like, hey, I'm proud of you. You knew what the law says, but I don't only want you to know what the law says. I want you to go and do what the law says. So the law doesn't save us. We need to understand that. The law isn't what saves you and me, but the law shows you and me that we need to be saved. When I look into the Word of God, I see that I'm a sinner. When I look into the Word of God, I see that I'm wicked. When I look into the Word of God, I see that on my own, I'm going to make a mess of my life, and I see that I desperately need God. So the law doesn't save me, but it does show me that I need to be saved. Galatians 2, 16. Why don't we go ahead and turn there? Galatians 2, 16. Galatians 2, 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So, he answered the question right. Jesus tells him to go and do that. Well, now he's going to try to justify himself. Okay, well, who is my neighbor, Lord? I don't know who my neighbor is. So why don't you try and tell me who my neighbor is? And now he goes into what we know as the story of the Good Samaritan. I believe this is a story that really took place. I believe this is something that took place. And Jesus is going to try to use this story to help the lawyer understand who his neighbor is. So in verse 30, we go into the story. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. That certain man was a Jew. And he's going from where? From Jerusalem to Jericho. That is a very steep slope. It's not just something that you're going to run up and feel great. It was a very difficult road to travel. It was a busy road to travel. It was used in the Old Testament, and it's used in the New Testament, and it was a road that Jesus himself had traveled on in his earthly ministry. It was also a dangerous road. There were a lot of curves. There were many ups and downs. It was a very tiring road. In some places, it was perfect for thieves to want to hang out and just wait for their next victim because they could easily jump out and rob the person coming by. The Bible says that this Jewish man was attacked by these thieves. It even goes into detail, and it says in verse 30, and fell among thieves. But he wasn't just robbed by these thieves. The Bible says that he was stripped of his raiment, and he was wounded. And when these thieves departed, they left him half dead. So, I don't know if anybody in here ever been robbed, but I have. I was a boy. I believe I was about 13 or 14. So I was a teenager. And it was a Sunday morning, and I was walking to church with my brother, and I had on a good Dallas Cowboy jacket. Any Dallas Cowboy fans in here? Okay, one, two, good. So I had on my good Dallas Cowboy jacket, and we're walking to church, and there's this big shrub. And out of nowhere, these two thieves jump out. One of them grabs me and he puts my hands behind the back, and the other one pulls out a knife on me. Says, "Hey, give me your jacket." What was I going to do? Of course I'm going to give him the jacket. I take off the jacket and I give it to him. They punch my brother in the face and they take off running. But I can remember for the next several weeks, I was scared to walk to church on Sunday morning. And they didn't hurt me. They knew that if they messed with me, they were going to be in trouble, right? So they messed with my brother. But anyways, I can remember just being terrified. I can't even begin to imagine this Jewish man because the Bible says they stripped him of his raiment. So they didn't only take off his coat, they took off everything. I can just imagine being embarrassed by these thieves. And as they're taking off his garments, they're beating him, they're hitting him, maybe they're kicking him, maybe they're cutting him with some type of sharp object. But whatever the case, they beat him up so bad that the Bible said he was half dead. Half dead means this. It is a condition that without medical assistance, he would die. So there he is lying there. Maybe he can't even open up his eyes. And I can imagine that it's probably hot. And he don't have any clothes on. And he's probably bleeding. And he probably can't move. And he probably can't talk. And time is running out. And if nobody comes to help him, it probably was in the course of that day or the night, he is going to die. That's his condition. And now he's in that condition, and the Bible says in verse 30, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. The priest. Who is the priest? Well, the priest was a Jew. He was a very religious man. He was a man that spent a good amount of time in the tabernacle. He would have been someone that understood what the law said. So he would have understood that the law said to love thy neighbor as thyself. This was a man that you and I would have expected to stop and help this man in his present condition. But even though he had a head knowledge of what the law said, he failed to apply the law and to love his neighbor. says, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So it tells us clearly that he saw him. He saw his condition. He knew that if he didn't help, that it was very likely that he would die. And I don't know why he didn't stop. Very likely for selfish reasons. Maybe he was in a hurry. Maybe he had something to do. Maybe he just didn't want to get too close to the body. Maybe he didn't want to touch blood. But he didn't stop and fulfill his duty as the priest. Then you have the Levite in verse 32. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Same situation. He was also a Jew. He was also a very religious man. He also had an understanding of the law. But he failed to apply the law and to love his neighbor as himself. And one may say, man, I can't believe these guys. If I would have been down that road, I would have stopped and I would have helped him and I would have made sure he had everything he needed. Hold on a second, because you and me walk by people every day that are spiritually half dead. And if nobody stops and tells them about Jesus, they're going to die and spend eternity in a place called hell. But we're all guilty, listen, of walking by people every day, and they may not be bleeding and they may look good outwardly, but they do not know Jesus. And you and me do the same thing as this priest and as this Levite. We go day by day by day by people that do not know Jesus, and in their present condition they will die, and we do nothing about it. So we might not want to be too hard on the priest and on the Levite. But the story doesn't end there. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now let's really think about this for a minute. These two men were people that were expected to help him. Think of people you expect to help you. Your pastor would be one. As the spiritual leader, you would expect your pastor, when you're in need, to help you. Imagine you're in the hospital, on your deathbed. You barely have enough energy to open your eyes, and you hear your pastor's coming by. You're going to get excited. And as he walks in the room, you can see that he's kind of in a hurry, and he walks in there. And he kind of keeps his distance. Whoa, you're worse than I thought you were. Man, they didn't tell me you were this bad. And he kind of is still in the distance. And the whole time he's there, he's on his phone. And then he gets a phone call. And, well, I'm really sorry you're in this condition. You know, there's really nothing I can do for you. And I got my buddies here waiting on me. And we're fixing to go do some duck hunting. Yeah. So, well, I hope you get better, and when I come back, I'll try to stop by and see how you're doing. How many of you are like that? Why? Because you believe that that is his duty as your pastor to care for you. As a Christian, that's your duty. So now to make things worse, here comes, what's your name? Matt. Brother Matt. Thank you. Here comes Brother Matt, and he's going to come by and visit you. And you're like, man, I can't believe Pastor, and you still can reason. And then comes Brother Matt, and with Brother Matt, he has a coffee in his hand and a coffee in this hand. And man, he's barely coming in the door, and he sees your condition. Man, too bad you can't drink some of this coffee. Sure is hot. And he just kind of looks at you for a minute, and then he does some things, and okay, well, I really need to go. You know, Pastor's calling me, and I got to get back to the church. And so he leaves. You'd be devastated because here are two men that you might look up to and you would say, these are men of God. These are men that have a duty to help me, and they did nothing. So I'm thinking that this Jew, he's probably thinking, man, I'm surely going to die. The day is coming to an end. Nobody else is going to pass his way. And now the Samaritan comes, and surely now he's thinking, great. The Samaritan. Here, this Samaritan man, they don't even like us Jews. He's probably just going to finish me right here. But The Bible says something different about the Samaritan. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So we understand that the Jews and Samaritans, they weren't really friends. They didn't like one another. John, let's go real quick to John just to help you understand. John 4 and verse number 9. Jesus was the woman at the well. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So if anybody wasn't going to help this Jew, it would have been, in our minds, the Samaritan. But the Samaritan, when he saw his present condition, he had compassion on him. And his compassion led him to do three things that I want to see here in the text. Number one, his compassion led him to sacrifice of his time. No doubt he too was on a mission. No doubt he too had to go somewhere, but when he saw him, he took the time to come where he was. So he saw him from the distance. And in my mind, I'm seeing as he's approaching him, he may be seeing blood. And he may see, man, he's in worse condition than what I thought. And the Bible says that he actually came unto him. So that means that he took the time to come exactly where he was at and look at him. So he saw his present need. So his compassion led him to sacrifice of his time. He took the time to bound up his wounds and pour in oil and wine. Hey, just think about it. So here he is. He's traveling. Man, he comes to this man. He needs help. He's going to take the time to bend him up and to put some oil on the wound so he don't get infected, to put some wine on there, wrap the bandages around him. He took the time to load him on his beast. Go back, if you would, to Luke 10 and verse 34. The Bible says, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. Now, I don't know about you, but that must have been hard. Because if he's half dead, he's probably not able to stand up by himself. So to lift a grown man onto a beast probably took some time. He probably got really bloody. So I need a helper, a young man. Does any of you want to help me? Okay. I'll have you come up here. Or you can just come over here. Sorry, I didn't tell you in advance. Will you lay down for me real quick? So let's just say he's that Jew. Okay, here he is. He's bleeding. Can you see it? Okay, he is. So he's bleeding. And here I am. I'm coming. And man, I start bounding up his wounds. And oh no, what am I going to do? How am I going to get him to help? So I'm going to try to pick him up and load him on my beast. I don't know if it was a camel. If it was a camel, it was pretty tall. I don't know if it was a donkey. I don't know what it was. So let's just imagine for a minute. So here I am. Man, he's pretty heavy. Man, I can't even pick him up. And he's a teenager. Man, how much do you eat? Nah, just kidding. So, anyways, I would imagine that he was probably about his size. Maybe a little bit shorter, but probably about his size. And you can see just me, the struggle of trying to pick him up. Just think of this man. But in the moment, he spent time, he took the time to bend down to pick him up, and he's going to load him on his beast. Not just any, you can get up, thank you. Not just anybody's going to do that. Why did he do that? His compassion led him to take action. And it led him to sacrifice of his time. Number two, his compassion led him to sacrifice of his goods. Well, what goods did he sacrifice? His oil, his bandages, his wine. I mean, this might have been all he had. And what about if something happened to him now as he's taking this Jew to town? What about if some robbers come out and beat him up? What is he going to help himself with? He sacrificed of his own goods to help out this man that was about to die. Thirdly, he sacrificed financially. Look in verse 35. Or at the end of verse 34. It says, and he brought him to an inn. Took care of him. And on the morrow, notice it says on the morrow, that means he spent the night with him. He spent the night with him to make sure he was going to be okay throughout the night. He didn't just abandon him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. He gave the innkeeper 2 pence. Well, how much is that? Well, it would be equivalent to about 2 days of work in those times. So you do the math, 2 days of your work. He sacrificed 2 days of his salary and gave it to the innkeeper so that this man could have the attention needed so he wouldn't die. And not only did he sacrifice 2 days of earnings, he said, hey, if this isn't enough, when I come back through here, you just let me know and I'm going to give you whatever you need. I want to make sure that this man is healed. I want to make sure that this man can walk again. I want to make sure, if we could say this, that he still has the opportunity to live. It did not matter that he was half dead. It didn't matter that he was a Jew. It didn't matter that he didn't know this person. But what we see is that the Samaritan's compassion led him to action and to love his neighbor. Listen, my friend, when we have compassion on the lost, when we have compassion on those that are spiritually dead, it's going to lead us to sacrifice. It's going to lead us to sacrifice of our time and maybe come out during the week and go do a little bit of door knocking. It's going to lead us to sacrifice our time and maybe talk to someone at work. It's going to lead us to sacrifice of our time and maybe go make a visit. It's going to lead us to sacrifice our time and invest in them. It's going to lead us to sacrifice of some of our goods. It's going to lead us to sacrifice financially so that the lost can hear about the gospel, because as we know, the Bible says that we're to go into every nation and we're to preach the gospel, and we know that everybody is not called, but everybody can have a part in giving financially, so those that God do call to that particular region, that particular area, they can reach the lost, they can reach the half dead in that country or in that continent or in that city, because God has called them there, and you can be a part in sacrificing financially. And when you have compassion, it's not going to be a burden for you. You're not going to be, oh, here we go again. I got to give money, because if not, preacher's going to tell me, hey, you need to give. Why aren't you giving? Oh, here we go. So I might as well just do it. You're going to give it because you want to, because you understand that without someone telling them about Jesus, without someone taking the time and explaining that Jesus died for all, it doesn't matter their color, it doesn't matter their race, it doesn't matter their language, it doesn't matter their home, whether it's small or big, or whether it has doors or windows or not, it matters that they're a soul, and you're going to be wanting to give. Because in their present condition, without help, they're going to die. And spend eternity in hell. So your compassion, this man's compassion, led him to sacrifice of those three things. So now Jesus comes back to the lawyer and asks him another question. Look down in verse 36. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Well, I don't think he really had to think too much about it. I think it was pretty obvious. Verse 37, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. Well, do what, Pastor? Don't only have an understanding about what the law says, but put into action what the law says. Have compassion on those in need. Show mercy to those that need mercy shown to. Don't only have an understanding of the Word of God, but apply the Word of God and do what it says. The law says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Go do it. The law says that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Go do it. Man, I love myself a whole lot. That's why I eat 3 or 4 times a day. That's why when I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror before I go outside, because I don't want people to laugh at me because my hair's all messed up. That's why I brush my teeth so I don't have 30 things in my mouth, because I love myself. That's why I sleep. That's why I do certain things, because I love myself a whole lot. The law says we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, and our neighbors is every person that we come in contact with, we're to love them as ourselves. It doesn't matter if they're your enemy or not. It doesn't matter if they live on the same block as you or not. It doesn't matter if they're from this country or not. It doesn't matter if they're from this church or not. We're to love everyone as we love ourselves, and that is compassion on the lost. The law says that we're saved by faith and not by works. The law says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. The law says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The law says the only way to see the Father that's in heaven is through Jesus Christ. These are things that we know. Now we're supposed to go and do what we know, so we're to tell people, hey, you can have eternal life, and let me tell you, it's not by your good works. Hey, let me tell you, it's not by your baptism. Let me tell you, it's not because you attend the Catholic Church and because they sprinkled you when you were a baby. But let me tell you, you can be saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He paid it all. He paid your penalty, and you can have eternal life if you would just repent of your sins. I know what it says. Now I'm supposed to go and tell people about it. But I get a feeling we have a lot of head knowledge of the law, but we're not applying it. So if you're here tonight and you can identify with this lawyer who had a head knowledge but didn't want to apply it, then ask God tonight, Lord, help me not to only have a head knowledge of your Word, but help me to apply your Word on a daily basis. Maybe you're here tonight, listen, my friend, and you have the head knowledge that without Jesus, you're going to spend eternity in hell, but you are too prideful to humble yourself and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It doesn't do you no good when you get to heaven to have a head knowledge. And I would encourage you tonight to get that settled and to take that head knowledge and bring it down to your heart, and that you would repent tonight and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. If you're that person, don't wait another day. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till Wednesday night. Don't wait till Valentine's Day, because you don't know what's going to happen in the course of this week, in the course of this night. I would encourage you to do that tonight. If you're here tonight and you already know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then He wants you to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He wants you to love the lost and dying world as much as you love yourself, because without spiritual assistance, they will die and spend eternity in a place called hell. So his compassion led to action. Sacrifice of your time. Are you sacrificing your time because of the compassion you have for lost souls? It led him to sacrifice of his goods. Are you willing to sacrifice of your good so that others can live? Led him to sacrifice financially. Are you willing to sacrifice financially so that those around the world could have the same opportunity you do to know that Jesus loves them? Jesus told the lawyer to go and do like the Samaritan, to apply the law to his daily living. You and me need to go and do like the Samaritan. They may not look nice. They may not be real attractive. But we're to have compassion on those people. And we're to tell them about what Jesus did for them. That's what missions is all about. That's why we're in Argentina. We're to tell people about Jesus Christ. The pictures you saw in our presentation, those are people that have come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ that before didn't know Jesus Christ. They were spiritually dead, but praise the Lord, God saved them, and now they're in church, and now they're learning about God. And listen, that is part of your investment so that we could go, and not only in Argentina, but the other missionaries that you support, they could show you pictures of people who have been saved, and that is because people have sacrificed financially. And I want to encourage you to keep on having that compassion, to keep on sacrificing so that the gospel can still be taken to the regions beyond and not just be here in America. I want to encourage you, if you're not involved, to get involved. Because our time is running out. We don't know how much time is left. The Bible says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we want to reach as many as we can before it's too late. Are you willing to sacrifice tonight of your time, of your goods, and of your finances so that those that are half dead can be brought to life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this story. Lord, we've all heard this story if we've been in church any amount of time. But Lord, many times we fail to have the compassion of the Samaritan. Many times we're like the priest and the Levite. We're worried about our schedule. We're worried about our finances and what we have to do, what we have to buy. We forget that we have a responsibility to a lost and dying world, to sacrifice of our time, to just stop and talk to them about you. Sacrifice of our goods or our finances so that the gospel can be taken to the regions beyond. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that, like this lawyer, they have a head knowledge, but they're not willing to apply what they know. Some may not even know you. Oh, they know how to be saved, but they don't want to humble themselves. Lord, I pray, however you dealt with your people, that you would help them to respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.